Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Mm-hmm. You can also download a free app on any electronic device. The name of the app is called TuneIn. On any electronic device, means cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or any other new gadgets they have out there, where you have your apps, and TuneIn is in your app store, okay, or Play Store. Or you can call in during a live broadcast like today. If you have any questions or like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. And as I said earlier, 221 days have passed this year, and there remains 144. So, I was in the store the other day, and I already saw Thanksgiving things.
Of course.
And I was thinking, we go from Labor Day, all the flags and the red, white, and blue, and now we're already in Thanksgiving. And probably next month, September, we'll be having the Christmas decorations out and all that, because you know.
You know, I really think they should wait till after Thanksgiving to start advertising Christmas.
They won't. They will not.
Because, you know, I know money's important, but, you know, I think they need to wait till after Thanksgiving at least.
Right, they will not. They can't wait. You know, they have Christmas in July. Like
all movies. What is that all about?
I don't know.
I don't understand Christmas in July.
I don't know. But they won't wait. You know, that's just, man, we're in a hurry for everything, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and people.
That's America.
Yes, America. And people are already shopping, you know. I said, well, you're kind of late compared to some people. They haven't. They started shopping like the sales after Christmas in December, right? The week after, so.
It's like you're just barely waking up and starting to go get yourself some coffee, and they're already got the store up and running and the lights on and greeting people at the door and, well, Merry Christmas, sir.
Yes, you know? already.
Yeah.
Amen. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good in the land that we live in today, and at least people have a celebrating spirit, you know, and it helps people, I think, have a positive attitude and to look up and be positive about life and things.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And we do that a lot in America. You know, we have a holiday every month, I think.
Do we?
Oh, yeah, just about every month.
It's a good country.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yes. A lot of people want to be here and live here and experience.
Yeah, you don't see people coming from here to Mexico.
Well,
people leave America to go to Mexico, when they're being chased by the police.
Oh, okay. is that the only way, Jeff? I'm sorry. My guest today is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. He was with us last hour, and he is continuing this hour with us. Jeff has been talking to us about his experience of being an atheist, and I didn't really understand. Maybe I thought he was, because I've talked to Jeff many times. He's been a guest on my show for, I know, at least seven years. At least that long. And I've heard his stories, but I always hear something new, you know. So we wanted him to start with being in the service. And I don't know if that led him to be an atheist or not, but it could have.
No, I was already an atheist
when
I went in the Army, yeah.
At 17?
Yeah, because of my uncle's influence, I think. But
how did he influence you that way?
Because he was an atheist and agnostic and stuff. And that's really kind of different because he came from a family that was very Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
my... grandmother, Grandma Porter, she was like, repent and be Baptist. You know?
Repent and be Baptist.
Yeah. And so, but I was going along in high school, and I got myself a girlfriend, and my best friend stole her from me, went after her and got her while I was camping one day. And that really irritated me, you know. Plus, I wasn't happy at home. My parents were strict and stuff, so I ended up joining the Army. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to get their signature to join, but... And it wasn't anything like I thought.
It wasn't?
No.
Where'd you think it was?
I don't know. I thought maybe it was like on TV and the movies and stuff, you know. It wasn't anything that wonderful and romantic. It was just the Army. And, but I learned a lot in there. I grew up in there. That guy that I met, was trying to talk me into believing in Christ, I met him in basic training. He's a American Indian guy. Talk about weird. That was a weird guy.
Weird how?
He was heavy into the occult, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, Indians.
Okay.
American Indians, you know. And I kind of went from atheist to sort of occultic, mm-hmm. you know. But he understood my interest in outer space and stuff. And he said that he had a spaceship out in the desert. You know, I was only 17, so I sort of believed him.
Did you want to go look at it or see that?
Yeah, but, you know, it's just a big lie, you know, so you had to find some way to get out of it.
Right.
So.
Let's go see your spaceship.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
And, but he's a very clever liar.
Okay.
But, eventually I ended up getting transferred to, Germany. And, I'll say one thing about it. At least I was in good health back then. But after I got out, then Mike and I got back together somehow. And that's when he came to Marion. His mother brought him here. And we met and went to McDonald's for coffee. That's when I got saved.
Hmm. Wow.
So it was in stages.
Right, I'm sure it was.
You know.
So how many years did you serve in the military?
Three.
3 years?
Just 3 years, yeah.
Army?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Air Force?
Army.
Okay. How many is there? Just three of them, right? Or four branches of the
military? Let's see. Army, Air Force, Coast Guard, and Marines.
Marines. Okay. So, they have the air. What do they call that? I forget.
Air. Air Force.
Air Force, okay, sorry.
I said Air Force.
Sorry. We talk about brain fog this morning.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
Well, God said it. He was going to defeat the strong with the weak.
Right.
He uses the weak to defeat the strong. So these people that come up with all these super powerful logical arguments against the Bible and against the Word of God eventually get defeated. You know, they get wore down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I remember talking about Walter Martin an awful lot when I first started, because he went on these official debates against skeptics and agnostics and atheists, you know, in the universities. You know, and man, they didn't like to debate him. Woo. I mean, he had 4 earned degrees.
Wow.
So, and including a doctorate.
He's well accomplished, huh?
Yeah, very. So, he usually defeated them. People would say, are you going to debate Walter Martin today? Are you sick? Are you, you know, why would you want to do such a thing?
Right.
Because he was so good at it. Mm. You know. Well, that's God for you. And, you know, they come along and they say that Christians are weak. They're unintelligent. They're,
suckers. I've heard that before, too.
They're what?
Suckers.
Yeah.
Like, we'll believe anything.
Yeah.
So. in anything, and that's not necessarily true.
No.
You know, it's because a non-believer does not understand faith.
Well, that's what, you know, I ran into that so much. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Not seen. Can't see. Can't touch.
But I mean, people who don't believe in God also believe in atomic structure.
What's that?
And you can't... Atoms that make up everything, and molecules that make up everything.
Right.
But you can't see molecules and atoms when you're just sitting here.
True.
You know, they have electron microscopes now where you can actually see molecules.
Okay.
You know, but not too long ago, it was just a theory. But now they're finding out that it's that the theory is true.
Hmm.
You know.
Right.
Well, you know, too, I think what another thing that's fascinating about all that is, it used to be when I was in school, you'd look at a living cell under a microscope and it was just a blob. Now, they found out there's all kinds of things inside the living cell that they never knew was there until the more powerful microscopes came along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Then they were able to see, right?
Yeah. And there's actually, I thought one was kind of humorous. It's actually got kind of like something that looks like a boat motor. And it turns a tail in there. Propeller makes it go.
In a cell. A single cell.
Yeah.
Of the human body. A single cell.
And it's got all kinds of strange things in it. You know. So,
who could?
I mean, why would evolution make something like that? How could it?
Right, I was going to say, what has evolution made? Tell me, has it made anything, created anything?
Not on a big scale. Now, a little tiny scale, you might take a thing like a virus. A virus can change and adapt to different environments.
Right.
And you might call that a form of evolution.
I heard R.C. Sproul, he's passed on, I think, last year, but he was saying people always writing into questions to him, right? And they asked, could God create another God?
Yeah.
People ask all kind of questions.
That's a interesting thought.
Since he is the creator, could he create another God?
Well, the problem is they'd be fighting over who was in charge.
And he said, if God did, whatever he created would be still subject to him.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Because he's still God.
Yeah.
He's not going to create anything over and above who he is and what he is, you know, so...
Yeah,
sense.
That, you know, that makes sense because God's not going to create an angel that's more powerful than him.
Right.
He's not going to create anything that has authority over him.
Right.
That wouldn't make any sense.
No.
You know.
No. Because he is God in and of himself. He didn't come from anything.
He's always been. He is and he always will be. Yes. That's something we can't comprehend with our finite brain. Just won't. Except that. You have smoke coming out of your head. Yeah.
One of the most powerful passages is in Isaiah. I think it's verse 40. I'm going to pull that up.
What chapter?
Isaiah 40. This is so powerful. What God has said about who He is. Do you like Google? I love Google. Right at my fingertips, I just type in things, you know, whatever I'm going through or thinking about. Yeah. I think it's 40, but have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent, that bring the princes to nothing. That's like kings, presidents, you know, anybody that's high in authority, you know. He said he make the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they all. They shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Who can you compare?
Yeah.
To him? Or shall I be equal to, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? These things that you put into question, how did they come about? Who put them there? And you know, people say, well, God didn't do that. Evolution did that, you know. But who did these things? Who bring out their hosts by number? He called them all by names, and the greatest of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You can't hide from God.
No.
Not anything, not even your thoughts. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faint not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? And see, we want to search his brain. We want to know, well, how is this, God? How did you do this? And how did you do that? Other than his word, which is him, and he is his word, and reading it, you know, just a textbook. Even people read it as a textbook. People read God's word for wisdom. People read God's word
yes.
as far as how to even invest money. Anything you want to know is in God's word.
Yeah.
So, if you have to go to God's word, then you know that man is not even responsible for God's word.
That's right.
Even though he inspired men to write his word, you know, but they're not responsible for it, you know, because his word is alive and is active,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it does things just by speaking it, just by reading it. Like you said, it transforms us.
Well, you need the renewing of your mind.
The renewing of your mind, absolutely. And that comes from
that's reading. Something I need to do lately.
Yeah, get your reading back. Absolutely, get your reading back. Okay, now, we can't search his understanding. We can't understand God. We don't know why he did what he did. We don't know why he put the Garden of Eden and Satan was in it and tempted Adam and Eve and they ate of the fruit and sin in it to the world. But it was God's plan.
Yes.
It was a part of his plan.
Yes.
You know? We don't know why, but he did it. He did that. I even wonder, well, why'd you go through all that, you know, and the devil
yeah.
was there anyway? You know? But.
He had to introduce evil into this world.
Because
without
of Satan,
without
right?
it being his fault.
Right.
Because we had to be given a choice. If the choice wasn't there, then nobody could complain about being judged.
Oh, okay.
But all of us have, in other words, God says, I'm going to give you the privilege of choosing between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good and evil really come off the same tree, because if you enter into heaven, there's no such thing as good and evil. Heaven just is. But there's no good and there's no evil. Good can't exist without evil. So he said, I'm going to give you a terrible... What he did was he gave us a terrible choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you choose evil, you're going to spend eternity in the wrong place. You know, in a very hot place. Whereas, you know, even though you know that what you're doing is evil, you choose that anyways because you get some kind of pleasure out of it. But in the end, is destruction. So you have the ability and the right to choose between those two. You may not always get it right, you know.
Right.
Like right. Me, I seldom get it right, but I'm trying.
In other words, God did not want to create man and make him like the animals. And the trees automatically serve God. They automatically do what he has programmed them to do.
Right.
But he gave us a mind with free will.
I mean, God is left with choices.
Yes.
He either had to give us free will or not. I mean, there's nothing in between that I know of, you know. So that's wise, so that we'd have the choice.
Right. Of our own admonition. We have chosen to be a believer.
Right.
In the finished works.
Right.
Of Christ, and believe God's word.
Right.
Every word.
Exactly.
And I heard Kenneth Copeland say he didn't make it. He didn't make the. He said, "It's not true that the Lord made the earth out of nothing." He made it out of something. We just can't see it. You agree with that?
I'm not sure what he means by that. I'm not sure.
What was that? A word, take the easy road out, right?
Yeah. God doesn't really tell us that much about what happened during creation or what it's made of or where it came from or... You know, that's what why they started up this study of astrophysics, because they're trying to figure out the origin of creation. Where is it? Is it in the physical universe somewhere, like the Big Bang theory, or did it just all of a sudden there it is? You know, poof. Which I think is very possible that God just went poof and there's the whole universe, you know. He didn't have to create it with a big bang or anything.
No, he just spoke it and it appeared, I guess, didn't it?
I don't know, but it sure seems like it.
Right. He said, "Let there be light." But
I don't think, right, you know, and I think it's up to us to do some research, find out some stuff, and they have.
Yeah, since creation.
Yeah.
They've tried to understand, but there is no we just read that. There is no understanding of his ways.
That's because most of creation, the how and the why and all that, is beyond our reasoning abilities. You know, God
we're
is so
smart.
Super advanced, and we're not smart enough to... We can't think beyond our reasons, our reasoning. That's why, you know, a dog, for instance, he can reason a little tiny bit, you know. He knows that when you throw a ball up in the air, it's going to bounce, and he knows how to chase a frisbee or something like that, but, and he knows his name. If you yell his name,
right.
he recognizes that, but that's about it. I mean, they don't have much beyond that,
right?
You know. So if God's blessed you with extra intelligence, be thankful. Because it's nice to be able to understand things that most people don't understand.
We're having technical difficulties with our soundboard, and hopefully you can try your call later.
Somebody called?
Yeah, I can't hear on the soundboard, so I think we're just having technical difficulties today with that. So
oh, that's
hopefully
too bad.
You can try later. Yes, But what were you talking about?
We
were
talking about creation. Saying, you know, like God blessed Einstein, for instance, with greater intelligence. Mm-hmm. So he could understand stuff like the theory of relativity and electromagnetism and stuff like that. And so we can use that for good, you know.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Like Newton. Mm-hmm. Now, Newton was a great scientist because they're still using his calculations to get to the moon, to Mars, and all of these planets in our solar system. He uses all of his principles of motion and gravity and stuff to be able to get there. But if it wasn't for Newton, we'd still be grasping. You know, so God, those were gifts from God. Intelligence is a gift from God, I believe.
Oh, yeah, the ability to think and reason, and we were all given gifts and talents,
mm-hmm.
abilities. We're all given those things. And I don't know, maybe different. Just like we were all measured, faith. All men has been given a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
How much? It may enough even be the same.
Enough measure. To get saved.
Yeah. Maybe the same amount of faith, you know.
Now, some people, I'm glad when they have questions, because that's how you end up getting saved most of the time. Is like you start going, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? Why is this that way? And so on and so forth. And maybe even start picking up some books on these on philosophical subjects or scientific studies and stuff. And it all leads to God.
Okay, so why is it that some people think that they can understand and reason with God and say, well, this is why he did this and this is... But some things he has told us why he did certain things.
Yeah.
You know, in
some
the
of them have perfectly common sense answers to them.
Yes.
You know, I'll never forget this one skeptic said that the Egyptians... That God didn't part the Red Sea, the Egyptians just found a very shallow place in the Red Sea to come after the Israelites. And the guy that was debating with him said, and so you're going to tell me that the Egyptians drowned in 6 inches of water.
That is kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
Chariots and horses and all that, they all drowned.
Yeah.
You know, in 6 inches of water, wow, that wouldn't even probably be up to most people's ankles,
I think
right?
Grasshopper could make it through that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. But the miracle of that was, it says all that night he blew.
Yeah.
With the wind.
You know, the Ten Commandments, the movie really doesn't tell the whole thing.
No.
But he parted the Red Sea like in the night.
In the night with the wind.
And then the wind he used to dry off the floor.
Dry that ground. The
so
floor.
They could walk through it.
That was something. And immediately it turned into mud when the Egyptian army got in there.
It turned into mud very quickly.
Yes, didn't it? It did, because they started to sink and
yeah.
You know, lose their tread and all that, you know. But he waited till they all got in there. It's this.
That's how God takes care of our enemies, too.
Yes.
I've seen him take care of my enemies like that before.
Yes. Make sure. And he promised, you know, I'll make your enemies your footstool.
Yeah.
You know, and also that was a representation of Christ coming into the world, you know.
Yeah.
Also, because he had many enemies. And like you said, if we think we're going to get out of this world without tribulations and trials and...
Well, they think that...
Perfect health and all that, that's not going to happen.
As Christians, no. We go through much tribulation.
Yes, we do. We do go through much tribulation, but... He is with us, and he brings us out of them all.
Yes.
He brings us out of them all. And
Yeah, and I like that when it says that.
Absolutely.
I
agree with you.
Much tribulation, like Paul, when he said, you know, he was in jail, he was here and he was there, but the Lord God delivered us out of them all.
Out of them all.
And I thought, you know, I've been in such horrible situations that Satan set up for me. Sicknesses and weirdo stuff and somebody wanting to kill you or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
God has delivered me from all that before.
Yes.
Sometimes even your own decisions.
And he says, who has declared the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous, yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good things. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. So when he said, when I asked man, right, when I asked man, none could answer.
That's right.
When I looked for a counselor, there was none there on this earth.
That's right.
Out of all of his creation, no one could answer him.
That's right.
A word. So that's just how knowledgeable we are when it comes to God. And when he asked Job all those questions, well, where were you? You know,
yeah.
Leviathan was here, and the Pleiades, and the Orion, you know.
Yeah.
Who did? Where were you at? Did you have anything to do with that, Job? Did you?
No, Job just sat there.
And even David said, you know, it's too high for me. I cannot attain it. I can't grab it. You know, bring it down here to me, Lord, closer to me that I can try to understand it, you know, because even with David being a man of his own heart, David loved God and God loved David. But David did. He was a man of war. He had blood on his hands.
That's what I asked the pastor one time. I said, how can God say that David's a man after his own heart? I said, look at the strange things that he did, the bad things that he did.
Yeah, but he was repentant.
Of like Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And wasn't that just the perfect name for her?
What was it?
She was taking a bath.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And I was like, well, who takes a bath out on the rooftop, out on the roof at that time of night?
Well, she was down here, but...
And he was on the roof.
He is on the roof and was able to see her.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have been staring.
Well, she could have had a curtain up, right?
Yeah. But you know how us men are.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess he was bored. But, you know, he paid for that. He paid for that because, you know, his house had, what you call it, wrath in it. You know, his sons.
Yeah.
His one son raped his daughter, and then Absalom killed his half-brother that raped his sister. And Absalom went after David's kingship.
Yeah.
You know, and... then he lied with his father's concubines and wives, you know, so he went through a lot of...
Well, you know, that's like a pastor's kids. Yeah. Pastor's kids are like that a lot of times, you know. Not saying all of them.
Right.
By any means, but people who have parents that are way up there, you know.
Right. But even though we go through many things, God brings us out of them all. And we were talking earlier about Psalms 118. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, because he has chastened me sore, but he has not turned me over to death. You know,
yeah.
He is my God, and I will yet praise him. He is my God, and I shall exalt him. Because when I found out I had cancer...
Yes, tell us about getting cancer of the lungs.
Yes. Toxic fumes from the workplace, working in a factory.
What kind of factory?
I guess, I'm not going to say the name of the factories, but a lot of factories use different chemicals.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are encased in these barrels with the skull, the face of the skull and the arms that's crossed, and you don't know what that is, and you wouldn't think that it would be in the atmosphere of the plant, you know, but some of them are so toxic like that. And some of those, I did a lot of research. Some of those toxins are like narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you come into a workplace and you're in the atmospheres for a while, you're intoxicated. And you don't even know it.
Mm.
Right? And you don't even know it until you leave and you get in the air and it begins to come out. You breathe it out of your body, you know, inhale and exhale. So, and I had noticed that at one time. I'm thinking, I don't feel the same way when I come out the plant as I'm in the plant, you know. And you're working hard, you know, because you're on this cloud. You're on cloud nine, you know. But I guess it was excessive, and I was allergic to it. And it had accumulated in my lungs, right? Mm-hmm. So when I moved to Georgia and I found out I had it, and the doctor said that, he said, I want to see you. This was on a Saturday, and he said, I want to see you in my office Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So you call, and we'll get you in there. Well, he didn't allow me that time to get in there. He called me that morning himself. So I want you in here right now. So I went. He had already taken x-rays, you know, because I had to have some type of procedure done. You know, they take mm-hmm. your blood work and all that, and x-rays, make sure everything's okay. And they had seen that spot already. And when I got there, he told me I had that spot. And he wanted to, he said, God, I believe God has chosen me for this task. He says,
wow.
Yeah, he told me what he was going to do. He said, I believe I can go in there and just cut that out of your lower right lobe. You know, and I thought, wow. And you know, when people tell you you have cancer, first of all, you feel that your life is over.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 20 years ago. You know, they have a lot of medicine, updated medicine today, and they can, a good fight. Against cancer now, you know. But back then, it was like
a death sentence.
I'm going to die. And I could feel darkness surrounding me, like I was going to die.
Mm.
You know, so I started from that Saturday after they had told me they saw a spot. I had till that Monday to go see the doctor in his office. And I just started immediately reading my word and declaring and reading TV, watching TBN and different pastors and healing services. And I just kind of closed myself off in my room. I went to the doctor, and he said, I want to take care of this, like, 5 days from that Monday. So I felt like the 5 days to that surgery that Friday, that I was just going to devote myself to the Lord completely, way beyond I had ever done. And I didn't want to really put the words out there or give glory to what was going on inside of me. And I thought that I didn't want to tell my kids, because that's just how I felt, you know. If I'm going to die, just let me die, and they'll just see that I'm gone, you know, because that's how we think. That's how I thought at that time. But it didn't happen that way. The Lord was saying, well, that's pride. He told me that was pride. I was too prideful about that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be prideful. So I called my children and told them, you know, what was going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the surgery that following Friday. But that Psalms 118, I declared.
That's what stuck with you, huh?
Oh, yeah. I declared to that devil, I'm not dying. You're not taking my life. I'm standing up. I'm fighting for my life. With all that is within me that is left, you know. And that's exactly what I did. And I jumped on that doctor's faith, because he told me God chose him for that task. And he believed that he could accomplish that task, and I'd be okay,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I jumped on his faith, like we're talking about, the substance of things. How does that go again? Faith is the evidence.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen.
So I couldn't see that. I had to believe in, you know, what he's telling me. So, and what the word of God gave me, when he gave me that, I shall not die.
That really increased your faith, didn't it?
Yes, like he told you.
Yeah.
When you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. You're not going to die. This is not unto death.
I was so depressed and miserable and everything. I said, well, if you want to take me home, that's fine. But that's not what you spoke to me a long time ago. You know, about my calling.
Right.
And, you know, he was like, well, who said you were going to die? You know, that's your thought.
Right.
Yeah, so, right. You know, he's that's exactly what he said. Who said you were going to die?
Right.
I said, well, it just sort of seems like it. I'm so miserable.
Yeah.
You know?
But you feel like it, you know?
Yeah. Feel like you'd be better off.
Yeah, just leaving this world. And when he gave me that, boy, I took that and I ran with that scripture. I shall not die but live. And this is for someone that's listening who may be going through a hard time,
well,
and in sickness.
I think God allows us Christians to get sick and be close to death sometimes so that we can have compassion on people out there that are hurting.
Yes.
You know, we don't want them to hurt.
No. No, but he wants us to draw people to him, not ourselves. To him who is the healer. To him who is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, who Jehovah Rapha, our God, our healer. You know, and he told Israel, if you obey my commandments, my laws and my statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you that I have placed upon the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's also, I use that too, you know, when I was going through that. It was like spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like spiritual warfare, so I went through all of that. But God is good. He is so good, and he is so faithful. And like I was saying earlier, that is for someone who may be going through a hard time right now, who may be struggling with some type of illness, and God is telling you, you know, that you shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Maybe we should pray for that person.
And we will pray for you right now. Jeff, go ahead.
Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I feel that we are praying for someone that's hurting out there that feels like they're going to pass on and they're going to die and they're not going to see their kids again. And I say to you that the Lord says you're not going to die. You're going to get well again. God is going to bring you up out of that. Maybe not in just one day, but in a period of several days, bring you up out of that sickness, Lord, and give you a new life. Sometimes we have to almost die before we start a new life. I just ask that you pour out your Spirit on this person, that they would receive the outpouring and baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father God, and just ask that you would, and even with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that they would be visited by many friends over the next few days. In Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hopefully we said something that encouraged you and helps you to look on to the author and finisher of your faith, our creator, our intercessor, our standby. He is there for each and every one of us.
Yes.
And never forget that God loves you.
Linda and both of us have been through much sickness lately. We've both come out of it.
Amen. Amen. Because he's faithful. God is faithful.
He is.
You can depend, rely, and lean upon him. He has been, you know, he's just fascinating. He fascinates me all the time. And never count God out.
No.
Never count him out.
I know. I've gotten through those times of skepticism where I go, he's abandoned me. It sure seems like he's gone. You know, because, man, it's just some, either you got your own pain or you got the pain the hospital put on you. And it's just impossible sometimes to just keep going. You know, just enough strength to just barely keep going. But I did.
Amen. Amen. You have people praying for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you were praying for yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have prayers already up there.
Yeah.
You know, for the future, you know, and I've heard that. I don't know how true that is, but, you know, it's like there's a like a big box, a storage box of our prayers and tears and things that God uses I don't know how true that is, but...
Well, I was in... how much time do we have?
It's our last minute.
A lady in Marion General in our church was praying for people at the hospital. And when I started to pray for her, I could just see her prayers, like, stacked upon each other. Stuff she was praying about.
Wow. That's powerful.
It is. It really is.
That is powerful. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And don't forget, we do stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. And we just thank you. I thank Jeff. He's back on his feet. He's back in the studio. So good to
Amen.
See you. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
May God continue to strengthen you.
Thank you. Same to you, Linda.
Keep on going. And those of you, thank you for your...
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you...